Happy New Year. We begin this year with a greeting from the Lord, from Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume me. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. From Psalm 72, verse 18 to 19. We welcome you to our worship service this Sunday morning. Let us lift up our voices in praise to our God.
From the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heavens,
your name be praised.
From the hearts of the weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people,
this song we raise, Lord.
Throughout the endless ages,
you will be crowned with praises, Lord,
Most High. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, Most High, be magnified, be magnified.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will be glad and rejoice in it.
This is the year that the Lord has begun.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning.
Great is your faithfulness.
The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to those who seek him.
Great is your faithfulness, O Lord.
Merciful God, you made us in your image, with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. But our knowledge is imperfect, our love inconsistent, and our obedience is incomplete. Day by day, we fail to grow in your likeness.
In your tender love, Lord, forgive us.
Amen.
Amen. Hear the assurance of pardon. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That is proof of God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ,
we are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
From Psalm 93. The majesty of God's rule. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring, more majestic than the thunders of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea. Majestic on high is the Lord. Your decrees are very sure. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore.
Thank you, Judy, for giving us that word of the Lord. As we come to God's word this morning, will you pray with me, please? Our dear God, as we begin this new year, we are so reminded of our utter need for you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in the last year, a difficult year. We thank you for the promise of your faithfulness through this year. And as we begin this year, Lord, with many challenges, we come to you now and say, yes, you will see us through these challenges. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to begin this year by opening your word. We have begun in prayer this last Friday on New Year's Day. It was good to humble ourselves before you and express our need for you and our prayers to you. And now it is good to open up your word together. And we do so with humble hearts and a full reliance upon your Holy Spirit for myself and for all who hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. You know, the common sentiment that we hear everywhere these days is a comment like, good riddance, 2020, or glad that year is over, or bring on 2021. Because few of us anticipated just how 2020 would roll out. And we all got worn out reacting to it for the better part of last year. So here we are, ready for a fresh start. The vaccine has given new hope to a COVID-weary world. Yet, practically speaking, as we begin this new year, we're still very much in the thick of the storm. In some ways, we're in the worst of it, at least here in Toronto and places like it, as we're under a strict lockdown. And, you know, even as recently as this morning's news, the case counts are higher than ever before. But all of this you already know, and we're not here today to talk about COVID, are we? We are here to talk about our foundation in a storm. When a storm has ended, you go outside and you check the outside of the house for anything which might have been damaged. You assess the damage and you make a repair plan. But you don't do that while the storm is still raging. While the wind is still howling and the waves are still crashing in, you do a mid-storm check of the foundations. And if the foundations are solid and no water is getting in, then you know that the house is going to stand. It's in this context that we turn again to God's Word. And this 93rd Psalm that Judy read for us is one of many excellent passages in the Bible that we might turn to in our present situation. That is, the beginning of a new year in the middle of a global pandemic. What a situation to be in. So we gladly turn to God's Word. You know, this 93rd Psalm, we don't really know the background that the psalmist wrote it about, and this just as well, because that makes this short poem easily applicable to many of life's troubling circumstances. The psalmist has some things for us to learn, presented here in powerful imagery, which speaks more loudly than many, many words could do. So the psalmist begins in verse 1 by pointing us to Yahweh, the Lord, the Majestic One. And the picture here in verse 1 is similar to the prophet Isaiah's famous vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6. Perhaps the psalmist was familiar with Isaiah's description, maybe even reflecting on Isaiah's description. Or perhaps they both had their own separate visions of the high and holy God. But in both descriptions, Yahweh is seen to be enthroned. But of course, we're not allowed a description of the indescribable one. Instead, we're given a picture of his robe. And in a vibrant robe play, the psalmist wordplay, the psalmist both says that God's robe is literally visible and that robe is itself majesty. I think what he means by that is that I don't have words to describe the splendor of that robe. And the robe is tied with a belt, and that belt is strength. You know, if we just saw a picture of God, his robe, seated on the throne, we might just picture him sitting. But because of the tightened belt, it tells us that God is ready for action. That is what the imagery implies. And having then given us this picture of Yahweh in heaven, the psalmist in verse 2 describes what this majestic, strong God has done. He has established the world. It shall never be moved, we read. The world is on a rock solid foundation. That orb on which we live, spinning through cold dark space, has been established by Yahweh on a solid foundation so that it is immovable. We have solid ground under our feet. The psalmist parallels this with the fact that God's throne has also been firmly established. The psalmist prayerfully addresses God and says, "Your throne is established from of old. You are everlasting." This poetic parallelism between the establishment of the earth and the establishment of God's throne makes it clear that God's reign, the place of his kingly rule, is the earth. The earth has been established, made firm by God's rule. This is a concise version of what is expanded further in scriptures such as Psalm 24, where we read, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Problem for us, however, is that our world does not seem to be firm at all. Even before COVID, we had problems of a global scale which left us feeling insecure, as if we were not on steady ground. Nations in uproar, large regions of the world in crisis, war and famine as ongoing realities, climate change threatening our planet, oppressive systems and self-serving leaders subjugating large populations. Well, the psalmist reminds us that these are just surface events because the foundation is secure, because the everlasting one has established himself as king of old, before it all began, even before time began. But again, even the psalmist acknowledges the floods have lifted up their voice. Because if the earth does not seem to be firm, how much less the seas? Perhaps the imagery of verse 3 is of figurative floods and not of literal waters. Even so, clearly the psalmist had first-hand knowledge of the fearsomeness of either the high seas or of flooded rivers, or perhaps both. Now, people of the ancient world were terrified by the waters. The sea symbolized raging chaos. Evil lived right below its surface. Sea gods and storm gods fought for control. The psalmist gives a nod to such fears, but he does not dwell on them. Like the psalmist, we've all seen storms and floods. I hope your experience with storms is of a safe vantage point. And I hope your experience with floods is only over the television. You know, I grew up just 5 blocks from Lake Superior, and due to its size and depth, Lake Superior is able to whip up some pretty impressive storms. So from a very young age, my father used to take my brother and I down to the shore of Lake Superior to watch the storms roll in. And one day when I was still young enough to be carried in my father's arms, and I don't remember it, I was too young, but my father's told me this story many times, my dad took us out to the long pier which goes out into Lake Superior. A large wave crashed over the concrete walls, leaving my dad holding on tight to me while my brother was washed down the pier between the concrete walls. Well, the experience did not keep us from future storm watching trips, but it did teach us to watch them from a safer place. But like those floodwaters, our waters and floodwaters of a pandemic right now. COVID is roaring loudly, even as recently as this morning's headlines. COVID has made its voice known. And even though a vaccine is in hand, we do not know the path of this COVID storm. It's a once per century flood, and none of us have been any too pleased to be part of it. Well, the psalmist provides an answer for the floods. The imagery of the terrors of the floodwater is quickly and skillfully changed to their majesty. And this is what my father instilled in us children, the ability to see God's majesty in the ferocity of the waves. The picture we use for this morning's imagery is of the Pacific coast of North America. Dangerous, roaring waters, but of the type that turned British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and the Northern California coast into winter storm watching tourist destinations. The waves surely are ferocious, but equally, to use the psalmist's words, they're mighty and majestic. So which do you see when you look at the waves, their ferocity or their majesty? Well, that's of course if you don't have to be out in them. They're great to watch from a safe vantage point, aren't they? But in life, we don't always get that choice, do we? So often we're out in the midst of the storm like we are now. And the Psalm 93 addresses that by pointing us back to the one who's greater than the storms. Having made the turn from terror to majesty, the psalmist then skillfully makes the point that yes, the waves are majestic, but this is nothing compared to the awesome majesty of Yahweh. In verse 4, more majestic than the thunders of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea, majestic on high is Yahweh. The psalmist instructs us to see God in the storm. Yes, look at the waves, see their strength and majesty, but think of God's much greater strength and majesty. Let those waves take you to God. Perhaps the psalmist had learned from God's rebuke of Job. God challenged Job at the end of the book of Job with these words, to see his might and his majesty. He said, "Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, 'Here we are'?" God, who is over all, is greater than the floods. In the story of Noah, God sends the floods back to their source and says, "Never again." When the people were ready to enter Canaan, God pushed back the swollen Jordan River. In the story of Jonah, God stills the waves and controls the movements of the creatures beneath its surface. In the story of Jesus in the boat, our Lord rebukes the waves and the winds and makes them be still. And at the end, in the book of Revelation, The sea itself will be forced to surrender its dead, and even then the sea will be no more. These are just examples in the Bible of what the psalm is teaching us, that is, of God's governance of the world that he created. Governance is the term commonly used to describe, providence is the term commonly used to describe God's active preservation and governance of the world. We may well think of the words of the Belgic Confession when it presents this statement of faith in God's providential care. It says, "We believe that this good God, after creating all things, did not abandon them to chance or fortune, but leads and governs them according to his holy will, in such a way that nothing happens in this world without God's orderly arrangement." This doctrine gives us unspeakable comfort, since it teaches us that nothing can happen to us by chance, but only by the arrangement of our gracious Heavenly Father, who watches over us with fatherly care, sustaining all creatures under his lordship. And again, that is from the Belgic Confession. I invite you to read it in its fullness later. God always gets his people back to terra firma. God answers the flood by telling it, "No, you shall not rage indefinitely. You are only a surface event." And then he tells us that under everything is his firm foundation. And he will see us through the flood to that foundation. As the words we used at the opening of the service from Isaiah, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." That is the promise of our God. And then finally, in verse 5, the psalmist brings it all back to daily life. Returning again to prayerful reflection, the psalmist reminds us that just as God's throne of the earth is established, so too God's decrees are very sure. The word used here for decrees means in the Old Testament literally testimonies. It's a specific reference to the tablets of testimony, that is the Ten Commandments, and also a general reference to the legal demands of the Jewish faith. Keeping these decrees, said the psalmist, is akin to holiness, or at least as we may accomplish it in our earthly bodies. And thus the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism spent much time on the Ten Commandments. As they summarized it, "This is so that we may never stop striving and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit to be renewed more and more after God's image until, after this life, we reach our goal, perfection." That perfection is the holiness of which we seek. This holiness, the psalmist says, befits God's house. In its original context, this house was, of course, the temple, the place where God chose to place his name. That temple is gone, but God's house still remains. Not a church building, even when we were meeting in person before we were separated. No, the writer of Hebrews tells us, Christ was faithful over as a son over God's house, and we are his house. We are the household of the living God, individual bricks put together into a temple where God's Spirit is pleased to dwell. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" He's talking to the church collective, and it's a significant call to the personal and collective holiness of us, God's people. The storms of life will come. This psalm testifies to their reality. Sometimes the floodwaters will reach our very neck. Sometimes their roaring will drown out even our own thoughts. But the psalmist invites us to return to God's sure foundation, anchored in who God is and tethered by God's decrees. God is majestic. God is strong. And God has established the world. And you? If you do these things, Peter tells us in his first letter, you will never stumble. So let's take that advice. You know, it's been my pleasure this past year to walk with you in my blog posts through the 58 paragraphs of the contemporary testimony, Our World Belongs to God. For many of you, that was a refresher. But for me, it was the first time to walk through it, so it was a real pleasure. We started on April 22nd, Earth Day, a day to reflect on what we as humans are doing to our planet. But that week, we were still reeling from the shootings in Nova Scotia. And that week, we were still not yet in our first lockdown from COVID, and we did not know what the virus had in store for us this year. We never dreamed that the virus would dominate the news and our lives and this journey through the contemporary testimony for the entire rest of the year. But what a continual comfort as the pandemic wore on to be reminded over and over again by this testimony that our world belongs to God. God is in control. It's His world and has been from old because He is from everlasting. As Christians, we have the best example in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ of how to live in a world that belongs to God. Jesus ordered His life on a daily basis on God's firm foundation. And because He did, He was able to face temptation, hunger, exhaustion, criticism, betrayal, suffering, and death. He is the one who shows us how to do so. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And He calls us to do the same as we follow His example and teachings. Perhaps Jesus had this Psalm 93 in mind when He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock." So ask yourself, is my house built on God's solid foundation? If so, God will bring you through this storm and future storms. If so, you begin this year with confidence and hope, a hope and confidence based not on a vaccine, but in the Almighty God. It's 2021, and do get the vaccine when you're able. Continue to do the right things to contain the spread of this virus. Stay healthy, keep others healthy, but also take the time necessary before this year gets any further along to check your foundations. Are they secure or intact, or have cracks appeared over the past year? Are you focused on the intensity of the flood, or are you focused on the majesty of Almighty God? People of God, as a church, we've done well to this point in the storm. Continue to hold on tight to God and do not give up hope in Him. Continue to respond with the faith, the holiness, and the trust, which is fitting to the household of God. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank You that You are our firm foundation. As You have established the world and established Your throne upon it, so too You have set us on firm footing. And we thank You, and we hold on to You, and we say, yes, Lord, we want to be on Your foundation for now and for the rest of our life. See us through this storm, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a new song we'd like to share with you now.
To
shaken. I'll not be shaken, for all my hope is in His love. From God alone comes my salvation. I'll wait and trust His steadfast love.
The Bible, in Ephesians 6, calls us to pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. Let us therefore pray together now in Jesus' name. We praise you and thank you, O Lord, for you reign in majesty. We thank you for feeding us spiritually with your word. We offer now to you our prayers. God of new beginnings, we thank you for the beginning of a new year. We pray for your blessing, providence, and guidance to all of us for this coming year. God of compassion, we remember before you those who are sick, shut in, or grieving during this time. We pray for your strength and your grace for them. Especially among our fellowship, we remember Betty, Alice, Willie, Lindsay, Bill, and others. We commit to you all who are poor, who are afflicted, who are lonely, who are victims of war, injustice, inhumanity, racism, and other forms of oppression. O Lord of Providence, who holds the destiny of the nations in your hand, we pray for our country. Give wisdom and courage to our leaders as they lead us through this pandemic. We pray that you may deliver us from the virus. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders that they, together with all of our nation, may first seek your kingdom and righteousness, so that order, liberty, justice, and peace may dwell with your people. O God the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divide your creatures. Increase in us the recognition that we are all your children. O Savior God, look upon your church in its ministry on earth. Have mercy on its weakness. Bring to an end its unhappy divisions and scatter its fears. Increase its courage. Strengthen its faith and inspire its witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. Look also upon the ministry of our church, Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Toronto. May you bless the work of our hands, strengthen and guide our pastor, our elders and deacons, our worship coordinators and all the various volunteers in not only worship services but in all our ministries and programs at this time. May this church be a salt and light to the neighborhood. We remember the kingdom work of our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, and commit it into your hands. We pray specifically this Sunday for your guidance and blessing on the ministry of the Office of Social Justice. Generous God, you have given us life and provided for our needs. Help us to give generously in return, with gratitude in our hearts for the work of your kingdom. author of grace and God of love. Send your Holy Spirit's blessing to your people. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our only Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. Amen.
Receive now God's blessing. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Go into the world. Dance, sing, laugh, and create. We go with the assurance of God's blessing. Go into the world, risk, explore, discover, and love.
We go with the assurance of God's grace.
Go into the world, believe, hope, struggle, and remember. We go with the assurance of God's love. Thanks and praise be to God.
From weak resignation to